Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McGinniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to quite possibly the greatest podcast of all time with the greatest guest of all time. My name is Ryan McGinniff. I am the owner of Minute Women Home Care, and you are listening to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving, where we give you information and education on senior care topics. And my guest today is Norma Marotta. Norma, you are with Oakley Home Access. You do home modification systems all around Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We had your boss on the show not too long ago, Justin.
Yes, and you've had Alex on here a couple of years back as well. So thank you for having me. We are always honored to speak with you and your listeners and to work with you as well in our common goals of helping people to age in place. And in the case of what we'll be talking about today, maximizing accessibility and mobility for people of all ages in Massachusetts.
Absolutely. So we've certainly gone over multiple times what Oakley Home Access does in previous podcasts. So check those out. We're here talking because Norma has been advocating quite heavily for a Massachusetts livable home modification grant. And I thought that this was worthy of a conversation, not because most of our listeners live in California, where they're going to sit there and be like, what do I care about home modification grants in Massachusetts? But this also really stemmed from Rhode Island having a home modification grant, which means that if it's working in Rhode Island and hopefully works in Massachusetts, why wouldn't you copy and paste to the other 50 states in America? So it is a conversation that, while specifically about Massachusetts, it certainly could affect everybody in the country. And it's a reason why maybe you should know more about this. So Norma, explain to us what the modification grant does and how it can help seniors and their families.
Thank you. And I couldn't agree more. I hope that this is a model that will extend to every state in the union and wherever it's needed. It is a great program. I was very excited and intrigued when I learned about it when I joined Oakley Home Access last summer. Oakley Home Access is based in Rhode Island, as Ryan explained, and expanded into Massachusetts about 2 years ago. In Rhode Island in 2019, the state legislature created and passed the Rhode Island Livable Home Modification Grant, which is funding of up to $5,000 for individuals and families who meet certain income criteria and who have a verified need for home modifications or adaptive equipment, meaning that their doctor or social worker or other qualified clinician or provider has vouched that with this need, they'll be able to stay safely at home. A lot of people don't have piles of cash sitting around. And unfortunately, as all of us in our industry and the greater world of elder services and advocacy and working for the rights of mobility impaired people realize that your typical health insurance, and that includes Medicare, as well as any private and most public forms of health insurance, really do not have anything in their plans that covers or assists people with paying for things like ramps, grab bars for the bathroom, supplemental railings, stair lifts. In some cases, vertical platform lift might be needed, or more complex equipment that may be needed when somebody is more immobilized and needs a Hoyer lift or other specialized equipment. They're often really left with no option but paying out of pocket for that. And these expenses can run from a few hundred to several thousand dollars or more. When there is no ability to pay for it and have it installed in the home and make the home livable for the person whose mobility is impaired at any age and for whatever reason, often the only alternative, the only recourse they have, because their insurance will pay for it, is to transition into a care facility, a skilled nursing facility, some kind of a group home that's established for someone with their needs. And most people would prefer not to have to do that. If at all possible, they would prefer to stay living in their own homes with dignity and mobility and the supports that they need. So Rhode Island, little Rhodey, stepped right up and don't want to say it was, you know, an easy or instant process, but did create the Rhode Island Livable Home Modification Grant, which, as I mentioned, people who meet criteria can apply for and receive up to $5,000 as a grant. This can be used repeatedly if someone has Parkinson's disease and at this point they need X. Next year, a year or two later, their condition has progressed and their needs have increased. They can apply for the grant a second time and be awarded another dollar amount up to $5,000. And it has worked out very well in Rhode Island. And Oakley Home Access is proud to say that we've helped many people there with their needs when they've been able to access this grant and come to us for the work that they need done. But it's not specific to us. There are other home modification companies and providers who also direct customers to this, as well as healthcare providers let people know that this is out there. To date, over 600 families and or individuals have accessed funding in the last about 3 years now in Rhode Island. And those modifications and additions of equipment to their home have enabled all of those people to remain home, prevent falls, prevent their caregivers from being injured in some cases, and be able to fully enjoy life at home with their families or as independently as possible.
So what we're talking about is a program that's going to cost money, but the idea behind this is that it's going to cost less money than the alternative of somebody falling, injuring themselves, and then being a warden of the state, if you will, for the rest of their lives, be costing 10 or 20 times more money by being in a nursing home under MassHealth or a Medicaid service, rather than spending $5,000 or $10,000 over the course of a lifetime modifying the home so that they can stay safely in their residence, which is where they want to be anyways.
That is absolutely true. The old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, really has never been more true than it is in this situation. When I started to learn about this and would talk about bringing it into Massachusetts, the question that always come up is how much money has Rhode Island saved by spending? The budget in Rhode Island for this program is about $500,000 a year. And as of last year, it has now become a permanent budget item in their budget every year. So it does not have to be re-voted on and reapproved every year. It is now a standing item. So I said, how can you put a dollar value on things that didn't happen? But you and I and everybody out there can kind of figure that if someone falls in their bathroom, perhaps has broken their hip, shoulder, whatever, cannot get up, ambulance comes, ride to the hospital, several hours in the emergency room, diagnostic imaging, admitted to the hospital, surgery, a few days inpatient, transferred via ambulance to a skilled nursing facility for 2 or 3 weeks of rehab or more, transferred home, possibly again in an ambulance, 6 weeks to 8 weeks of visiting nurse visits and at-home therapy, and then outpatient therapy for another 2 to 3 months. Clearly, you're already somewhere near or over $100,000. And I was on a Zoom recently speaking about this, and happened to be a professional from long-term care insurance industry there, an actuary, everybody's most fun party guest. But he told me that in the world of, they can put a price on it. And in the world of long-term care insurance, which does often pay for what home modifications and adaptive equipment do, they have put a price tag that a $150 grab bar potentially saves a $150,000 payout. So for the smallest and most basic example, you know, the gateway modification of one 36-inch grab bar that somebody puts in their bathroom, and the long-term insurance company pays us $150 or pays a vendor to put that in, they see that as a potential savings of an eventual payout to their insured person of well over $100,000. So we can extrapolate that along with, you know, someone with more severe needs, more needs in their home. Even if they get that $5,000 max grant this year, and again, a year from now, that $10,000 expenditure that the state has put into the grant to fund this may save their health insurer $500,000 over the course of years. You can't compare the cost of a month, you know, even 1 month in a residential care facility to a one-time modification at home that prevents the injury or helps somebody maintain.
And it quickly spider webs into other areas, because the reason why nursing facilities or care homes are going under is because they have so many people that are on the long-term wing that are on MassHealth or Medicaid, and that doesn't reimburse very much. So, you know, keeping those individuals at home where they want to be is a good thing. It's certainly going to be somewhat divisive, because you're talking with money, you're talking about, does, like you said, spending a little bit up front save a lot on the back end? I always remember watching that show 60 Minutes one year, and Scott Pelley was interviewing somebody, and you know how they always like repeat what they say, and they're like, oh, so you said, he goes, so basically the United States is a war machine with a large insurance side attached to it. And it's like, oh, all right, that's a good way to summarize where our budget goes. So we're already spending hundreds of millions, billions of dollars every year on caring for seniors, whether we like it or not, allowing them to be in their home, still be part of a community, not put into the wing of a nursing home is a good thing. And certainly family members would appreciate that as well. And we've seen what's happened over the last 16, 18, 12, 24 months with nursing homes and community senior living, will say, and what happens when a virus gets in there, and it can spread quite quickly. So being able to keep somebody home with a program like this may not only be good for what you explained, but it might be great for the amount of money that gets spent on somebody who gets COVID. And then they go into a hospital and they're on a ventilator, or the, you know, millions of dollars that are spent trying to keep somebody alive. And then maybe they're successful, maybe they're not, but could that have all been prevented with a $5,000 or a $10,000 home modification? Certainly is something that it's a sunk cost either way. So why wouldn't you try to make that as minimal as humanly possible? And that's why I was behind it, because we've seen the writing on the wall now for 24 months that people are staying home. We have friends, both of us network together all the time in nursing homes and assisted livings. And I think they're not out of the woods like they thought they were out of the woods. So they're going to have another tough round at it with what's going on in the news with the new variant. Why wouldn't we want to keep people home? And certainly in Massachusetts, you have a lot, in New England, you have a lot of people that are aging in place and want to stay at home as long as possible. And on top of that, you have a growing more and more segment of those seniors who don't have family that live nearby anymore, because so many people move down to Florida, or they move away, or they've gone to New York, or wherever they've gone, that they don't have that family to be able to help out. And a home modification grant might be the difference between somebody being able to stay in their home for a few more years and going to a nursing home sooner.
It's absolutely true. There is always going to be a population for whom a skilled facility is necessary, for whom a community setting is better than being at home. But when the person can be managed safely at home with the proper supports, finding a way to help them fund those needs is very important. And again, I know you and I are mainly focused on older adults and elder care concerns. This grant, though, is available to those of all ages. So a family who has a child with a birth injury or any kind of a congenital condition that would require help maneuvering around the house or transferring that child from bed to tub to a wheelchair or whatever their needs are. Younger and middle-aged people have used it when there's an acquired brain injury, veterans who have had an amputation, anybody whose mobility needs have been impaired or changed at any age, as long as there's a verified need that they're clinician can submit the documents that are needed and they meet the income criteria and some of the other factors, this is available to them in Rhode Island. So when I joined Oakley Access in July of 2020 and started to look into what kind of funding options were available here in Massachusetts, there are many. There are specific ones, there are broader ones, there are grants, there are loans, and a lot of different things out there. Some of them are specific to a diagnosis, some of them are specific to a zip code. There's a lot, but there is not to date one umbrella grant that covers everyone in the state who meets the need for it. So at that point, I reached out to my representative. I live in Taunton, and my representative is Carol Doherty for 3rd Bristol and her legislative aide, Philip Duarte, and explained to them what Rhode Island has, you know, in brief terms, and wanted to ask if they'd like to hear about it in more detail and think about proposing something like that for Massachusetts, because we are Massachusetts and we can't let Rhode Island have something that we don't have. So they very generously replied to me quickly and offered us some time on Zoom. So Justin Oakley, who is an occupational therapist and one of the owners of the company, and I met with Carol Doherty and Philip Duarte via Zoom last November. Justin very succinctly but in detail explained to her how it started in Rhode Island, how it became a permanent budget item, how we were involved with it in Rhode Island, and what benefit it might provide to the residents of Massachusetts. And we were really appreciative of their time, but didn't really know if it would make any, you know, they're busy. We didn't know what was going to become of it. But just the beginning of January of this year, when the legislative session opened for 2021, Ms. Doherty emailed us one Tuesday night and said, "I wrote the bill, it's attached. The legislative session is a year long. There are going to be over 3,000 bills presented, but yours is going to be one of them, or hers is going to be one of them. And here it is." So she has, for all intents and purposes, taken the wording and text of the Rhode Island bill and adapted it to Massachusetts, but it's basically identical in the way it would work, in the way it would be funded, and how it would be awarded to people who applied for it. So throughout the year, Representative Doherty and Philip Duarte and I have been in touch regularly with getting her some data and more details about things going on in Rhode Island, putting her in touch with the state leaders in Rhode Island who implemented the bill there so she could speak to them on a peer-to-peer level as well. And it will be presented at some time between now and January 6th when the legislative session ends. So it could be any day now. And that is why I'm here to speak with Ryan and his listeners today.
Well, that's great. So, I mean, it's something that's still up in the air. There's no guarantees, but it's something to be aware of. And, you know, when you think of budgets that get spent, I mean, $500,000 a year in terms of these large budgets is not a huge significant line item, but it can be a huge significant benefit to some people. I mean, if you're you know, if that's a concern, if you have family members that have had that need, that can be a big difference maker there. So I think it's remarkable the fact that you know, especially nowadays with so much divisiveness in politics, you were able to reach out to a local politician. They were willing to listen to you, and they took action based off of a good idea. Renews your faith a little bit, at least into local politics.
It does, but that is one of the lessons that we know from the progress that's happened with this in Rhode Island. The outreach from regular people to their representatives, communicating their interest in that legislation and why this bill needed to be passed and why this funding needed to be there, really made the difference in not only initiating it, but also after 2 years, getting it to be a permanent fixture in the Rhode Island budget. They do listen. We make a lot of jokes about politicians, but I can say that I found in my experience, Ms. Doherty and Mr. Duarte to be extremely responsive, honestly and sincerely committed to what they advertised in their campaign literature. And I'm not limiting it to just them. I know a lot of people have, at my urging, reached out to their representatives in different parts of Massachusetts and then wrote or texted me and said, "Oh, wow, I emailed my rep at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon and they emailed me back at 9 this morning and said they were going to make sure they read the bill and you know, had all the information about it and would be ready to vote for it whenever it comes up." So they do listen. they want to keep their jobs. And if you, the more voices they hear, I think the bigger difference it makes. And I mean, this isn't, again, this is a unifying issue. Everyone has, will have, knows, loves, work with, has cared for somebody who is homebound because they have no safe way to get in and out of their home. They are now in a wheelchair and there's no ramp and they don't know how they could possibly pay for one. And they're, oh my God, Medicare doesn't pay for any of this. It's a thing that you don't think about until you, you know, encounter it yourself or one degree of separation from somebody who's experiencing it. And it can only be a good thing to help someone remain safe in their own home if that's feasible and that's what they want to do.
And that brings up a fair point to maybe remind or reiterate, is that when people think about home modifications, they're thinking about a new kitchen or an extension onto the back end so we can have the big theater room. When you're talking about $5,000 in a grant money, you're talking about, like you said, a ramp to go up to somebody's door so that they can be handicap accessible mm-hmm. now. And you sit there and you say, you know, we've all seen some aluminum ramp. And I'm not saying that they're inexpensive in the whole scheme of the medical world. And to sit there and say, hey, listen, I don't know what those ramps, $1,500, $2,000 ramp, is the difference between whether this person needs to move into a nursing facility or not, or that $2,000 ramp is the reason why this person fell down the stairs because they know they couldn't use a wheelchair, so they had to try it with a walker, it's just a bonehead move not to be able to do this. So remember that this isn't somebody's house being remodeled. This isn't a kitchen being updated or a bathroom being updated. We're talking grab bars. We're talking aluminum items that you don't necessarily want in your home, but you need them in exactly. your home because you need it to be livable. This isn't upgrading your house and all of a sudden the resale value is going to be 5% higher. This is, hey, I need this thing. And then whenever I pass away, it's going to be sold on Facebook or it's going to be gotten rid of. And then somebody new is going to be moving into the home. And that's when they're going to gut the whole place and remodel it. So it isn't luxurious. It's making something livable, and it's much more it's much more about being able to make somebody be able to be compatible in their home again, rather than all of a sudden they're living in a life of luxury. I think when I first heard of it, I was like, home modifications, like, what's that going to pay for? And then you're like, oh, all right, yeah, put it in perspective, like, you know, being able to live in your own home is going to save a lot of money in the long run. So what I will do, Norma, thank you for coming on. I will link down into the show notes your Oakley Home Access's URL. And then if people are interested, they can take a look at that. But in the meantime, what do they do? What do you want from people who are listening to this? That if, you know, hey, listen, if the bill doesn't get passed for another week, there's a week of time that somebody can do something.
That's right. So all I want for Christmas is for you to locate your state representative, and that's going to be in the link that Ryan will share. All you have to do is put in where you live, your town or city, and it will tell you who your representatives are, and it will give you their email address right there, as well as their phone number if you prefer to talk on the phone. I have also written an email template, which you can copy and paste and just say, Dear Representative X, my name is John Q. Smith, and I live in the town of Reading, and I want you to take a look at HD 2507, which is a bill proposed by Representative Carol Doherty. Very brief information about that, and you sign it and send it along. And I can almost guarantee that you will get a reply. They will at least tell you that they are going to read it and be prepared to hear about it when the vote comes up. And the vote will be happening, as I said, sometime between now and the end of the legislative session at the beginning of January 2022. So the sooner you can get that out, the better. Your voice really does matter. They really do listen. The more people they hear from, the better chance this has of being passed. And we would be thrilled if it did.
And if you live in California, You just say that you live at 396 Main Road in Woburn, Massachusetts, and you know, you just, you know,
I'm not gonna check. I am more than happy also to answer questions from anybody who wants to email me, and I believe that my email is in that link that Ryan has. And if you don't have that, you know, he can give that to you. I'm happy to answer any questions or get anyone more information about this if I can.
Norma, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan.
Did I ever say you look stunning with that ring light on? It just. Norma was saying beforehand that her ring light was off earlier, and it made her didn't bring out the color in her face. So
you make me blush.
Excellent. Thank you, Norma. It's great to see you again. I only saw you 5 hours ago.
Opportunity.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening to Caregivers Toolbox. We appreciate you taking a listen, and we will catch you on the next one.